Well, I remember as a kid trying to take a multivitamin. Do you remember that first time when your mom or dad said, "Hey, you need to take a vitamin," and you're like looking at this thing, you're like, "How is that gonna go down my throat?" I remember we had these like Megamen multivitamins from GNC or these like red ones. I don't remember why we had what ones, but I remember trying and just looking at that thing and like drinking the water and being like, it's gonna go. No, it didn't go down. All right, try again. It's gonna. No, it's not going down. And just having a hard time and like spitting it out, especially the red one, just had the. It wasn't pretty. So today's passage is kind of a multivitamin. It's good for you. You're even going to understand it pretty easily as we read it. Many of you have heard it. Some of you have memorized parts of it. But it's actually like a multivitamin. It's good for you, but to actually get it down, to actually get it down where it affects you and you can live it out is actually a lot more difficult. Because what the Apostle Paul is going to hit on, if you'll open up to Philippians chapter 4, which is where we are in our Philippians series called Uncommon Joy, he's going to hit on two things that are genuinely hard to live out. The first is this: it's hard to live out the gospel. It's hard to live out a standing firm in the Lord when we have conflict with other brothers and sisters within the church. He's going to hit on that. And then the other thing that is difficult to live and stand firm in the Lord is when we have internal personal conflict like fear, worry, anxiety. And so those are the two things that that Paul's going to hit on today. And here's kind of the theme of the passage. Followers of Christ are to stand firm in Christ in the midst of relational and personal struggle. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. This is God's word. We're going to start at verse 1 today, and we're going to go to verse 7. This is God's holy word. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we study your word today, you will do things that we didn't anticipate as we came in today. Lord, you would work in our hearts in ways that we weren't prepared for today, but in ways that are so good. Lord, that you will work in areas maybe we have conflict with other people or struggle with other people. You will work in ways where we're battling anxiety, battling worry. God, let us stand firm in the Lord. God, as we come to your word, let us not come with pride judging your word, but let us come under your word in submission to your word. Lord, guard my mouth from error and let us please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in verse 1, we see a theme we've seen Paul have throughout this letter, and it's his love and affection for the Philippian church. He loves these folks. We see in Acts chapter 16 this whole story of how this church began with three different people coming to know Christ in different circumstances. He loves them. He says he loves them. He longs for them. They're a joy and crown to him. But he also uses a military term, like a commanding officer, ordering them to hold their position. And he says, stand firm in the Lord. There's a war going on. Stand firm in the Lord. They battle the world. They battle the flesh. They battle the devil. And notice that conflict doesn't just happen out there in the world. It also happens in here, in the church. So point number one today is stand firm in the Lord when there is internal church conflict. Just to put everybody at ease, I'm not aware of like major conflict in our church that I'm preaching this today. I'm not thinking of anybody as I'm preaching this, in case you're like, who's fighting? That's not the reason we're preaching this. We're preaching this because we're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. So we walk through the text, and the text does address us, though. So stand firm in the Lord when there is internal church conflict. Now, I know it may surprise some that there actually could be conflict in the church. But a church are people who've rebelled against God. They're sinners, and they've come to know Christ as Savior. But sinners are sinners, and when sinners gather with other sinners, sometimes sin happens when sinners gather with other sinners. Which isn't truly shocking at all. But Scripture encourages us to work through conflict. And so in verse 2, Paul says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Now, we don't know what this conflict is that Euodia and Syntyche have, but we know these sisters in Christ have issues with one another. And Paul, 800 miles away in a Roman prison, hears about it. So this is a public conflict. But I love how tactful Paul is. He doesn't get into details here. He doesn't gossip here. He doesn't share things that shouldn't be shared. No, he addresses a public conflict in a public rebuke. These ladies are to agree in the Lord. But agree to what? They are to agree, or remember the same thing. They're to agree that they are in the Lord. The Lord must be their common ground. Friends, when we're in conflict with another brother or sister in Christ, we must remember we have common ground to resolve this conflict. We have a Savior, Christ Jesus. When we are in conflict with fellow believers, we've got to keep this in mind. So, Euodia, you must remember that Syntyche is your sister in Christ. Jesus died for her, loves her, became obedient to the point of death for her. Agree that she is not the enemy. When we're in the midst of conflict, oftentimes we can see that person as the enemy. Agree, Euodia, that Syntyche is not the enemy, but she is the Lord's. Syntyche, you must also agree to the same thing. Agree in the Lord. Bow before the Lord in your thoughts, in your heart about Syntyche. Or about Euodia, sorry. About her. Bring your thoughts about her before the Lord to be examined. In the context of chapter 3, Paul's just said that they are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. They're citizens of heaven. Therefore, stand firm. Part of that standing firm is work through conflict. You sisters are both citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Don't battle each other with earthly tactics. You see, we in the church don't fight the way people fight in the world. We're not to do that. We fight with understanding, hey, if we sin against one another, we need help. And that's exactly what happens in this passage. You see in verse 3, Paul invites the help of others in the church. He says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women. Now, we're not really sure if true companion is talking about a guy named Scissorgus, which is the Greek word, or a lot of commentators think that it's actually Luke. So if you read Acts chapter 16, Luke is there with in Philippi. So some people think it's actually Luke is the true companion who's helping these ladies work through things. But the principle is here that we need help in conflict resolution. If you can't resolve a conflict between you and another person, you get others to help you resolve it. You don't just sweep it under the rug, biblically speaking. This is the principle we see in Matthew chapter 18. We find that you go one-to-one, try to work through any kind of conflict. And if that doesn't resolve the conflict, you get some godly people involved to help you resolve the conflict. Because the desire is not to win the conflict. The desire is to honor Christ in our relationships with other people. So we want to stand firm in the Lord, even when it comes to that person that tempts us most, the person who misunderstands us most, the person we feel like judges us most. We want to resolve conflict. We want to stand firm in the Lord. So biblically, we can't write off people and simultaneously honor Christ. Paul addresses this in Philippians 1:27. Stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's the same term, side by side, he uses in Philippians 4 here. Euodia and Syntyche are ones who serve side by side. Paul says, they have served side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. These ladies are sisters in Christ, sisters of Paul. They probably were pillars in the Philippian church. If you'll remember in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian church actually started with Paul going to Philippi, being led to Macedonia, to Philippi, and he goes and shares the gospel with Lydia and some ladies by the river who are like God-fearers. And so Euodia and Syntyche may have been right there with Lydia coming to know Jesus as Savior. And so they've served this church since day one. And get this, this is the very first Christian church in the continent of Europe. Like, this is staggering, the pillars that these ladies may be. And so the stakes are high in them resolving their conflict. Paul loves these ladies. He wants to see them united and unified, serving side by side. Why? Because of Christ. Paul sees their conflict is getting in the way of the gospel. He sees their conflict getting in the way of the gospel because when we are in conflict with others within the church, we hinder the mission that the church is on. You can't keep a conflict like maintained within the two people and not splattering on others if we're unwilling to resolve it. And even the secular world understands this concept. In Stephen Covey's book called The Speed of Trust, he says that if there's relational conflict in a company, things slow down. He said there's a speed of trust, and if there's conflict within a company, things slow down. Productivity slows down. More meetings have to happen because trust is broken. There's then the meeting that's after the meeting to share things that should have been shared in the meeting, but we don't trust that person in the meeting, so now they're not in the meeting, so we have a meeting after the meeting to talk about that person who was in the first meeting. You ever been in one of those? He says there's a speed, though, of trust. When we trust, the mission of the company speeds up. People trust others to do their job. Employers trust their employees. Employees trust their leaders. There's a speed of trust, Covey says. In many ways, that's a biblical concept. Internal conflict hurts mission. It must be resolved, but it's not resolved for the sake of efficiency. Please know that. It's not resolved for the sake of efficiency. It's resolved because we want to honor Christ. We want to stand firm in the Lord. We bow to the same King. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who promote the rule and reign of the Prince of Peace. Paul confirms these ladies are believers. Their names are written in the book of life. Their citizenship is in heaven. But he encourages them, live out the gospel you claim. Live out the gospel that you've been claiming by agreeing in the Lord and working through this conflict. What's interesting is there's a transition to verse 4. I actually think it could go with the passage that we just studied in verses 2 and 3. But it's quite an interesting jump for us mentally. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, the theme of joy is throughout the book of Philippians. We've seen it, and you see it 16 times throughout these four chapters of joy, joy, joy. And it's staggering because Paul is in a Roman jail as he writes about joy. So it's like, man, this is joy that's different than circumstances. So he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So Euodia, Syntyche, Clement, all of you rejoice in the Lord. Even in the midst of difficult conversations that need to happen. This is not just rejoicing that the conflict is resolved. It's not just rejoicing when we feel peace. It's rejoicing always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I don't know about you, but in the midst of relational conflict, like one of the last thoughts in my head is joy. Like, do you go toward that hard conversation? You're like, yes. If you do, you might have some counseling needs. Like most of us don't walk toward conflict with like, yes, I love this. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Here's the multivitamin. Let's drink some water. Try to get it down. Rejoice in the Lord even in the midst of conflict. But notice the joy is not in the conflict being resolved, in dealing with it, even winning a conflict. That's not the joy. The joy is in the Lord. That's outside of circumstances. Outside of circumstances. It's not a joy that our conflicts are resolved. It's a joy in Christ who resolved our greatest conflict. Our broken relationship with the Father is resolved in Christ Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. And verse 5 then speaks of how we act toward others. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, or how the NASB translates. It says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Joy in the Lord works its way outward. Joy vertically in the Lord works its way out horizontally in our relationships with others. When we deal with internal conflict within church, we need joy in the Lord that leads toward gentleness with others. Here's how Sinclair Ferguson says, I love this quote. He says, a joyless person can never be a gentle person. A joyless person can never be a gentle person. This is where you see so often in the New Testament, vertical leads to horizontal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's next? Love your neighbor as yourself. You have vertical that leads to horizontal. So you have joy in the Lord that leads to gentleness with God's people. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. Emmanuel, God with us, is at hand. He is here. In the midst of hard circumstances, he is with you. You can rejoice because he is with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's a link between joy and God's presence. Friends, we live before the face of God. We stand firm in the Lord, moving forward toward reconciliation. In such a way, reconciliation is such a big word for Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, here's part of our job description as believers. Those who've been reconciled to God, you're now ministers of reconciliation. That's part of our job description, is reconciling others to God and to one another. Why do we reconcile again? Because we've been reconciled to the Father. So friends, this passage encourages us. It encourages us, if we have broken relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, be reconciled. Agree in the Lord. Go to them and work through the conflict. If that conflict has been there a day, a week, a month, a year, it's time to work through it. If you can't work through it, you and that person, you need to get other people involved, godly people who give wise counsel that both of you trust. It honors Christ to take seriously loving one another. And I'd encourage you, if that's a conviction right now, as I'm speaking, you're like, yeah, I'm very aware of this, I would spend some time in the letter of 1 John. 1 John does a great job speaking about this. Let me just give you a little sample to whet your appetite. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. He's so blunt. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see, vertical love for God leads to horizontal. Horizontal love for others shows the vertical love for God. Friends, loving God is shown as we're unified with brothers and sisters in Christ. The gospel shines brightly as we work through conflict. That's part of being the church, is working through conflict. We have the tools that the world doesn't have. We have the tools of the gospel that the world doesn't have. It's not hard to understand, but it's hard to live out. But our passage doesn't get easier just dealing with conflict in the church. It actually gets even harder. We continue the multivitamin, trying to swallow it, drink some water. And we now deal with internal conflict. That's where Paul goes here. I think you can link the passage. You know, if you're having conflict with one other person, like, it can start absorbing into being anxious. I don't know that we just want to solidify it with a relational conflict with another person, but I think this passage is helpful in that as we go into verses 6 and 7. Point number 2 is this: stand firm in the Lord when there's internal personal anxiety. Internal personal anxiety. What do we do in anxious moments to stand firm? What do we do in anxious moments? Well, Scripture calls us to pray. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says that we cast our cares on God. Why? Because he cares for us. Friends, we live in a day and age where we try to get rid of anxiety. We medicate anxiety. We distract ourselves to avoid anxiety. We try to reason ourselves out of anxiety. But there's a reason for anxiety. Did you know Scripture here gives us a reason for anxiety? It teaches us to pray. It teaches us to cast our cares on the Lord. I love Paul Miller's book, A Praying Life. If you've never read that, I'd encourage you to read that. It's a great book. And he says this: instead of fighting anxiety, we can use it as a springboard to bend our hearts to God. Instead of trying to suppress anxiety, manage it, and smother it with pleasure, we can turn our anxiety toward God. When we do that, we'll discover that we've slipped into continuous prayer. That's fascinating. That the anxiety that we have as we give it to God, as we go to God with it, we start praying more. I don't know about you, but when I'm anxious, it's not like that just goes away. It's like it's a thought in the morning, then I don't really deal with it the rest of the day. No, it's a thought, and then a thought, and then a thought. And you just like live with it throughout the day. But what if those thoughts go to prayer, go to prayer, go to prayer, go to prayer, go to prayer? You've slipped into continuous prayer, is what Miller says. So let's look at this passage. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. That's a staggering statement. I know even in reading that, when we head toward don't be anxious about anything, I can head toward the list of the anything. Like, just think about things that you could be anxious about. Just take 5 seconds. Think about things that you could be anxious about. Like I just listed a few. You can be anxious about work, kids, roommates, food, money, sports teams, hobbies, marriage, church, weight gain, weight loss, disease, joint pain, new pain, sleep, lack of sleep, noise, silence. We can be anxious in the home, in the car, at the beach, at the grocery store. We can't be anxious anywhere. Does you feel good now? I just put that weight on you. Sharon just said, thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. I have more, but I'm going to stop, Sharon. Friends, there's not time long enough to talk all about the things we could heap on our shoulders to be anxious about, but God's word looks us in the eyes. It addresses us. Do not be anxious about anything. What have you been anxious about today, yesterday, this week? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every moment, every cause for anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when we are anxious, whether it's a big anxiety or a small anxiety, we talk with God about it. We pray, we communicate, we live in relationship with the Creator. Oftentimes, my kids will come to mom or dad and they want to talk out what's going on. If there's a struggle, they want to talk. Hey, dad, can we talk? Hey, mom, can we talk? We talk to our Heavenly Father because we're in relationship with Him. That's what prayer is. We're going to God about the struggle we're having. And notice, right on the heels, this verse is right on the heels of this. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is with us. We have a relationship with the Lord, so we communicate with the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We talk to Him, and He talks to the Father for us. And we give thanksgiving. How thankful we can be that we can go to the Father, that we have that mediator between God and man. We have that great high priest, is what Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says. It'll be on the screen. It says this: for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Get this now. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we pray knowing we're accepted by the Father through the Son, and we cast our anxiety, we cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. And get the promise as we head into verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, which is asking God, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Get this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is promised as we cast our cares on the Lord in anxious moments. The peace of God is promised because the Prince of Peace is for you. If you have turned from your sin and trusted Christ as your Savior, the Prince of Peace is for you. Your heart and mind are in Christ Jesus. You've been united to Christ. Philippians 2 verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So in anxious moments, we pray. And as we pray, we get something that surpasses knowledge. It's not a feeling. It's not just an experience, but it's a knowledge that God's with us. It's the shalom. It's the rest. It's peace. Gordon Fee says it this way: peace comes because prayer is an expression of trust, and God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust Him. Oftentimes we're anxious because we don't have it figured out. We don't have control. We don't know what's going to happen around the next corner of our lives. I love this quote. This is one like I just want to get like tattooed or something. Like it's just helpful. Like I need to I need to read that one again. This one's a good one. Peace comes because prayer is an expression of trust. And God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust him. As I was working on this message, actually this exact part of the message, for 30-day challenge within our community group, we're texting each other a lot, and one friend within our community group was texting and asking a prayer request. The prayer request was that he was waiting for a job he had interviewed for to get back to him. He'd waited for a few weeks, and like, why aren't they getting back to me? So he kind of had a call to the HR lady a week or two before, and she was like, yeah, we're interested, but we got to talk, we got to figure out all the paperwork. And so at that particular morning, he was just anxious and sharing his heart with the guys in our community group. And so I was just aware of that, had prayed for him. I'm sure others had prayed for him. And so at the exact time I'm spending time in verse 6 and 7 about not being anxious but praying, don't be anxious but praying, here's what he texted in the middle of my sermon prep. He said, guys, I'm not sure if some of you have begun praying or not, but after I texted y'all, I didn't know what else to do. So I've basically been on my knees for like an hour praying about the job and seeking the Lord for peace and provision to satisfy me. I was interrupted by my phone going off, and lo and behold, it was the HR lady telling me she called the departments, apologized to me again for how long it's taken, and then told me she pushed everything through for me herself. Wow, I literally had goosebumps the entire time we spoke. Prayer absolutely affects the heart of God. I'm so freshly encouraged by this promise today. I start on Monday. God works. He wills and works according to his good pleasure, and even puts us in these moments where we just fall on our face before him. Say, God, I have no strength. I have no ability. I have nothing. Brothers, pray for me. I don't know what else to do. Sisters, pray for me. I don't know what else to do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we don't just stand firm. God stands firm with us as we pray. He says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, for years, I always kind of pictured like that will guard. I heard that's a military term, the will guard our hearts and minds. I just kind of pictured this like warrior, like buff guy that's like way taller than me and way stronger than me, just kind of like guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. As I was freshly studying this passage this week, I realized I'd misinterpreted this a little bit. This isn't one strong guy. This is an army of strong guys guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is warrior angels. This is Jesus incarnate coming and guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus as you pray. He will guard you. The Green Beret, the Navy SEALs, like they're around your heart and mind as you pray. And what's fascinating is Paul's writing this to the Philippians. Philippi was a military outpost. So every day these Philippians saw military folks walking around, guarding the walls, guarding the area, guarding to make sure peace was kept in Philippi. Philippians, you see those warriors, you see those soldiers. That's what God's doing. He's guarding your heart and mind as you pray. The peace of God guards your heart and mind. It's like a powerful force field around your heart and mind as you pray. Instead of being anxious and listening to lies, we speak to God. We speak out loud to God. We pray to God, and suddenly we're warmed by the peace that surpasses all understanding. Nothing circumstantially may have changed. The job may not have come in. The phone call may not have come. All these exterior things may not happen, but somehow we have an odd peace because he has guarded our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Paul Miller says this, when you stop trying to control your life and instead allow your anxieties and problems to bring you to God in prayer, you shift from worry to watching. You learn to trust again. I love that idea of switching. As we pray, we turn from worrying to watching. When we're watching, God, how are you writing the story? Like, I don't see the outcome. I don't see the answered prayer or how it's going to work out. I'm struggling because I'm not in control. But I'm not going to worry. I'm going to watch. God, you know my struggles. You know my weakness. You know my temptations. You know my needs. But I'm going to watch. For you who loves the birds and clothes the lilies, you who are good and gracious and great and glorious, I'm watching how you're going to work. Friends, when we take our anxious heart to God, we begin to watch how he writes the story. And we begin to trust again. And when we trust, we have that peace. Friends, are you anxious today? Are you walking in here anxious? Have you been battling anxiety, worry, fear this week? Paul Miller says this of our anxiety. He says, what does an unused prayer link look like? What's it look like when we don't pray to God in the midst of anxiety? He said, or in the midst of a situation. He says, what does unused prayer link look like? Anxiety. Instead of connecting with God, our spirits fly around like severed power lines, destroying everything they touch. Anxiety wants to be God, but lacks God's wisdom, power, and knowledge. Friends, when we realize our anxiety just says, I want to be God. I want to be in control. I want my will to be done, not your will to be done. We realize that severed power line is going everywhere, and it's ruining our lives, and it's hurting others around us. But friends, when we realize we have anxiety and we go to this God whose peace guards us, who guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus, two things happen. One, we have utter dependence. We have utter dependence on God, realizing I got nothing, but I come to you weak, helpless, in need. Utter dependence. And two is complete trust. Trusting God. Friends, where we are anxious, where we are lacking utter dependence on God and complete trust, let's go to him. Christopher is going to come now as we prepare to close. And friends, our passage today encourages us to stand firm. Whether it's relational conflict or internal conflict and anxiety, we want the peace of God. And I love this. Commentator Gordon Fee encourages us with this. He says, for Paul, peace is primarily a community matter. It's interesting to think about. Peace is a community matter. You see, we may actually misread verses 6 and 7. Oftentimes in the English, when we see the word you, we think me because we live in an individualistic culture. But actually, the you throughout verses 6 and 7 is a y'all. We get that in the South. It's a y'all or you guys or whatever you are, where you're from. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your, plural, your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, the New Testament calls us to community, to rely on others as we're going to God, to walk with one another as we go to God. So today, we want to just have the opportunity as we end to pray for one another. If you are currently wrestling with relational conflict or you're battling internal anxiety, we want to pray for you. We want to pray that the peace of God would guard your heart and mind in Christ. So I'm going to ask you in a few moments to hold your hand up if you need prayer. And we're going to be church family together, walk around, move around, and pray over one another. Pray that this person would have the peace of God. If what you're needing prayer for is a relational conflict, just please don't share too much detail. That probably wouldn't serve. But you can just say, relational conflict, please pray for me. If it's anxiousness, it's internal worry or fear, you're welcome to share more details as is appropriate. So let's stand together. And if you are struggling and just need prayer, you're walking through one of these moments where you're like, I need this community. I need